Now back to a story that has been making headlines all this week. President Trump says he's now directing the government agencies to reunite migrant families who were separated at the border. But there are still lots of questions about how and when that will happen. Yesterday, he signed an executive order to end further family separations after a mountain of political pressure. But that order didn't address the more than 2,300 kids already separated from their parents. We spoke with Elisa Steglish before this latest news about reuniting these families. She's a professor at the University of Texas School of Law, and I asked her to describe how these reunifications normally work.
Well, this has been part of the challenge, is that the family separation policy as implemented is so new that the children who were separated from their parents and sent to the Office of Refugee Resettlement System that normally cares for unaccompanied children was not even receiving those children with the knowledge that they had been separated. There was no indication that these were children different other than the tears and the state of crisis, emotional crisis that these children were in.
So there are situations where you can ask a youngster, a young child, what is your name? What are your parents called? Maybe some details that might help you with that reunification process. What happens if the child is a baby? Can't speak.
And this is where it becomes very, very challenging and depends on, quite frankly, interagency communication. And ICE has not historically been open to sharing information. And the fact that the separation policy happened without any protocols in place to ensure communication and maintenance of knowledge of where the child is, where the parent is very telling, that there really was no care for family unity at the outset.
The president, when he was talking about his executive order and the action that he's taken, says the borders are just as tough, but we do want to keep families together. What do you make of this new executive order?
It is highly problematic. It continues the zero tolerance prosecution policy, prioritizing families for prosecution, and commits to indefinite detention of those families, not only through the length of any criminal prosecution the parent might undergo, but well into the immigration proceeding, which can take years. This, of course, is in clear violation of the Flores Settlement Agreement, which obligates the U.S. government to release with unnecessary delay children who are detained and maintain the children for the brief period of time they are in federal care in the least restrictive setting.
Elisa, you've advised some of the migrants on the front lines quite recently as part of the Texas Civil Rights Project. And when you saw that the children were being separated from their parents, what was it like? What was the difference?
I have to be honest, it was one of the most emotionally difficult experiences that I've had. And this is after a fairly lengthy career of working with asylum seekers, survivors of human trafficking, unaccompanied children. The parents that I spoke with were focused on nothing but how to get their children back. Here they were in federal court facing criminal charges, and their only questions revolved around, where are my children? How can I get them back? How long will it take? And none of those were questions that I could answer. I will say that the solution of increased family detention is going to bring similar hardship to these families, particularly the longer they stay. Most migrants come with incredible hope for safety. They are fleeing violence, and to come into a place where they have so much hope and to have their rights so trampled is really testing of their resolve.
Elisa, I'm just still wondering about these 2,300 or so children. I'm still not clear what's going to happen to them. If you have the ability to advise Congress, they're wrestling with these two immigration bills right now, what would you suggest would be a good immigration policy?
To be quite honest, what we had in place, what we still have, is sufficient. There is no compulsion in the law to prosecute asylum seekers. The U.S. would stand as an outlier if we remain committed to prosecuting protection seekers. The immigration law as it stands provides a clear right to seek asylum. And for the most part, that is who these immigrants are. I would also counsel Congress to focus on that fact and focus on the root causes.
Elisa Steglish is a clinical professor at the University of Texas School of Law Immigration Clinic. Thanks, Elisa.
Thank you.